that going over the passion test last week. Last week we went over passion test one, the first part one, and it was the first half of Janet and Chris Atwood's book called The Passion Test. Very powerful, very impactful to go run through it. I'm hoping that a lot of you have tested the water with it and have done your passion test, because one of the things I wanted to do is open up just at the beginning of the call this morning before we jumped into part two. Is anyone want to share a little bit about going through the passion test, what it's meant to them? Anyone? I'm opening up for shares. I believe star six, is that right, Lynn? Star six to unmute.
Yes.
Most of you guys know that already. I'm just always on this end, so I never know how to unmute. Anyone out there want to share a little bit? Pretty quiet group. Everybody's going, I don't want to share mine, Mary Jo. It's too personal. And I go, yeah, it is personal. That's what makes you so unique and so fantastic and so wonderfully complete and so important to have your voice heard, because you are unique and you have a lot to offer all of us.
Mary Jo?
Yeah. Sounds like Rudy.
Yep.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I'm very good.
Yeah.
One, I'm making a bunch of passion phrases, so I'm still working on it, but one is, life isn't fair, but it's still good, so I might as well make it the best I can.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I would start with that comment. I mean, I would stay away from what life isn't, because all of a sudden you're taking something away from life before you even get started. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. And I don't want to rob. I don't want to rob from life before I even get started. Well, I think life is, you know, is full of abundance. I'd rather start with the fullness of abundance, and maybe rephrase that to be something of life is abundant, and I'm ready to jump in and you know, share in all of that greatness. Right?
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad I shared.
Yeah. Good. 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 Yeah. Great. Good. I think that when we say things like life isn't fair, I think it right away puts us in a mental state of a negative mental state than a positive mental state. And we got enough around us, don't we, people? I mean, you can look at the newspaper, you can read what's going on in Washington. We got so much negative stuff. It's just like, I mean, my goodness gracious, the crazy stuff happening in our world today. And it's like we don't need to be stuff. We need to be creating greatness and being a beacon of light in this world of ours. That's what we're here to do. So, yeah. And that doesn't mean, some of you might be saying, well, Mary Jo, aren't you living in la-la land? I don't live in la-la. I live in this land. I live in the United States of America. I got Monsanto all over me. I got the government all over. I got this going all over. I got a zillion and one things. But you know what? My focus is on the greatness of what we can create here instead of the sadness that so many others are creating around me. I'd rather create greatness. And that might include tackling some of the sadness that's around me, but it's not going to be from a perspective of life's not fair. It's going to be about life being tremendously abundant with opportunities that we really can step into. I mean, you know, even the concept of what Manatech is doing in tackling global malnutrition, right? How many people look at global malnutrition and the first thing out of their head is, how are we ever going to do that? And my perspective is, what are we going to do after we accomplish that? What's next? See the difference in perspective and the joy that it brings in your life, the happiness it brings in your life. Yeah. Anyone else working on passion test? What are your passions? What are you passionate about? And how many of you have gone to the website? Because I think that can be very revealing as well. And I just suggest you take the time. I mean, I'm going to move on because we don't have a lot of people sharing this morning, but let me just suggest that if there's one thing, one most important thing you can do this week in your life is take the passion test. It's the one most important thing. Yeah, I can't put enough emphasis on it. It plays out in an incredible way in your life. Will it be the answer to everything going on in your life? Of course not. But it is huge and powerfully important on you moving in a direction that's moving you forward. I've already put in my calendar. I told Lydia, I said, we're going to do this once every 6 months. So we already have a built-in automatic in our calendar system. that we're going to be doing this every 6 months. We're going to be taking the passion test, because the passion test, taking it over and over and over again, just is going to allow you to continue to learn more about you and grow in you and establish, you know, see where you might be going off track, or you might be, you know, something else might have developed in your life, because our passions shift as we go through life, but we also don't dig deep enough necessarily the first time we go through this. So we want to continue to be digging in our life to find and become aware of, you know, where those passions really are, because we've had a lot of years of burying the passions, you know, right? We put a lot of dirt on top of them. We've sprinkled a lot of sand. We've, you know, let wounds, you know, mask our passions. We've allowed feelings, hurts to mask our passions. We've allowed to our own belief systems to mask them and override them, and we want to dig through all of that. So it takes energy and effort. And so definitely put it on your calendar. But I, you know, if there's one thing I can tell you to do that will most impact your life in the next 24 hours, in the next 7 days, is do the passion test. Just do the passion test. And you have plenty to do it. You have the website. You have the book outline for Mary Jo, which is plenty enough to get that done. I gave you the structure of it last week. And so let's move forward today, because we got a lot to cover. So what we're going to cover? Yeah, go ahead. It sounds like Rebecca.
Mary Jo, this is Rebecca.
Golly, I love it when I recognize your guys' voices. That's so awesome. Because, you know, just for everybody else on the call, the two people that just spoke up are not in my downline. So just so you know, I appreciate all of you so much. Yeah, but Rebecca, what can I do for you, sweetie?
Okay, well, you just got to say, make sure you put it on the top of your list. Well, as I'm sitting here working on my goals for the week, that before you even said that was on the very top of my list.
Great.
And anyway, before I did that, okay, so I had wanted so bad to get it done yet last week. I was on my list, and then I took on an assignment of taking care of my four grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
4 days, 24/7.
Oh, my gosh, girl. Yeah, kudos to you. Yeah.
And it was like I was journaling this morning, and I was so, oh, God, I got so off. I never got that passion test out. I was starting to beat myself up. And then when you said that, I kind of realized that I realize what my passion is. Part of it,
yeah,
is taking care of my grandchildren. Because
there
I got,
you go. Yeah.
That's so why I'm doing my Manatech, because I want to create a legacy of, you know, different, so many different things, but it's for them. And
right.
It's just totally impacted me.
Wow.
Just now.
Yeah. And how cool is that? So you sit back, and that whole experience of last week was really great for you to be able to now step into your passion test exercise, right? So it was all meant
awesome,
to be.
Yes.
Instead of looking at what, you know, because so many of us, you know, when I say to you, I go, okay, so how many of you did your passion test? Everybody goes, oh, my gosh, I didn't do it. And you get the hammer out. You start beating up on yourself or something. And the reality is maybe something transpired last week that was perfect to help you have a better understanding in terms of doing that passion test. Thank you, Rebecca. Great share. Absolutely great share. And what I love so much about the grandchildren aspect of this is the fact that we step into knowing we want those incredibly critical people in our lives to have a better life. Right? We look at the world today and we want to go, wow, what do we want to make sure that we, number one, preserve for them, number two, help to change for them so that they truly can have a much, you know, a much more desirable or favorable environment as they grow up and they have opportunities that they are, you know, we feel that they should have. And today we know there's a lot of things we need to change to make sure that happens. So great. So we can see the passion happen.
Yeah. One little thing on that. My oldest one is 12. And
uh-huh.
You just
mine too.
Five.
Way to go, girl. You and I have the same. Look at that. That's cool. So go ahead.
Well, anyway, the oldest one is 12. And a year ago, I think it was a year or maybe even 2 years ago, I was writing my ideal day. And one of them, when I wrote it, it was taking him with me to Kenya to see the orphanages that we were helping with.
Wow.
For real. And anyway, yeah. I was just talking to him the other day, and he says, oh, yeah, Grandma, remember, when I'm 15, that's where we're going, you know.
Oh, cool, cool.
And I haven't talked to him about it in at least a year. And he was,
wow.
Like, yeah, Grandma,
he remembers.
That.
He remembers. Yep,
so
that's great.
So I just thought that was a huge thing this week for me.
Wow, and what an impact you're going to make on that child by taking him to an orphanage. I mean, unbelievable. Great. Super girl. Good hearing from you. Thanks for sharing, Rebecca. Great heart. Yep. And I can't wait to hear some results of the passion test this week. Okay. Great,
yeah,
great.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Good. All right, people, let's move. And I know there might be some of you who want to share. We're going to do more of that next week. In fact, I might even open it up for open shares next week because I think we could spend a lot of time around this because I really want this to be part of who you are and what your life is like when you dig through this passion, working on your passions. So we're going to talk today. So last week when we talked about the first part of the book, you know, for part one, when we talked about, remember we talked through the formula. She talked about intention, attention, no tension, those three critical concepts, intention, attention, no tension. So last week, the whole first part of the book, when we talk about, you know, reviewing our and digging through the exercise of the passion test itself, we really are dealing with only one part of that formula, right? We're dealing with intention. That's what it was, that whole first part of the book. Now as we go into part two of the book, we're going to be talking more about attention and the concept of no tension. So attention. And the first chapter in the part two of the book talks about what you think you become. So that really becomes part of attention. What we put our attention on becomes our life, right? So it's really what and it talks about really the law of attraction, and everybody is familiar with that because we've gone through The Secret, the law of attraction. What you give attention in your life is what you draw, is what you create in your life. So the concept for us is to focus on things we love in our life, not on the challenges. So, you know, there's a example in the book that talks about a person that's married and she's almost getting divorced because her husband is so horrible with finances. And so what she did is she said, okay, so how can I make a difference here? So she started with the fact that she would, not that she would ignore how horrible she was, but she started looking for the times in which he made great decisions about the finances. And she became incredibly reinforcing. So she decided to shift her gears to become positive and reinforcing and to be more apologetic about the bad times instead of, you know, nagging. You know how we can be? We can really be, you know, and we can take things to heart. We can focus on the negatives instead of on focusing on even the positives, even how small they are. And she started doing that in her relationship with her husband. And, you know, within a 12-month period of time, of course, you can notice patience is involved here, right? For a lot of us, that's a hard thing, and that's something we need to work on because change doesn't happen overnight. But over a year period of time, her husband became incredibly proficient with finances. And guess what? Her marriage is like a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10, where it was fading to a 2 at the time she started this acknowledgement. So it was amazing how focusing on how great he is, telling him even the littlest, least things that he's doing that are positive, how stupendous that is, and never criticizing him for the other things. When you realize that every single thing you experience in life has some benefit to offer, you discover that there's no longer anything to fight against or to be defensive about. So it's unbelievable. So I put a quote in the outline today, which I thought was so powerful. And it really is about, you know, discovering that people, situations, resources are drawn to you in ways that you could never have predicted. And that's what happens, but we need to position ourselves to draw those to us, right? We need to start focusing on the greatness around us instead of on the negatives around us, and then help through those negatives to allow them to dissipate, because they will naturally because of what we focus on. It's a law of attraction. Focusing on goodness, and life becomes almost magical. I don't really like the word magical, but in a way it is. It becomes in a way that great things just fall in our lap. They happen to us. The way to create whatever you want in life is by giving it to other people, and we always know that. In other words, we always hear the statements about, you know, if you want more love, give more love. If you want more money, give more away. If you want more whatever it is, happiness, then exhibit more happiness to others. Whatever you want more of in your life, become more of yourself, and that's what will attract it to you. So all of those things, we need to be open to receive them, but we need to be giving them in the process of, and that's what allows us to get them. So it's just a great concept. So what we think, we become. So it's about focusing on what we want in our life, and then we receive them. The second chapter goes into from passion to action, resigning as the general manager of the universe. How many of you can look at your life right now and say, you know what, I operate like I'm the general manager of the universe? And that's one big quadrant out there. It's the control quadrant. The people who really want to be in control, the dominant quadrant, they want to be in control. They're very result oriented, and they want to be in control of everything. And what we're saying here is that you got to surrender is a much more important word. And for those of you who walk with the Lord, you know it's the most crucial word. In fact, it's typically, in my book, it's like the number one thing that holds people back from having a phenomenal relationship with their Lord and Savior is the inability to surrender or their unwillingness to surrender. So, and surrender is just, and I was there. I mean, I can only teach and preach on this thing because I walked this path for a long time in my life. I thought I was so powerful and I could create things and I could do this. And of course there was a tremendous amount of power there, but it was power that I was perceiving coming from the wrong source. So it's about surrender. It's remarkable things happen when we surrender. When we do all that we can do, remarkable things happen when we surrender, right? It's about surrendering. Make a list of all possible actions we can take that could allow us to begin aligning our passions with our markers. And this is something you can do. An example would be like even in your Manatech business. So what they're suggesting is you take what action, so you go from passion to action. What action steps can I now take that are going to allow me to begin to align myself with my passions? And you make a list of those. Now, just being successful in Manatech could be one of those things, just like you heard Rebecca. She says, wow, do I need to be on fire with Manatech? Because through Manatech as a vehicle, I can provide all these things and I can change the world and help change the world for my grandchildren. Because I want them to have a better life, right? And we can focus on that. And so being successful in the Manatech business is crucial to creating all of that. So how do I become more successful in my Manatech business? Well, how many of you have any doubt about what it takes to be successful? Some of you might still be thinking, I don't know what it takes. Well, you know, they're basic action steps that everybody knows. The eight core activities, I mean, we've talked about this over and over again. They're in all of Manatech materials. The Bo Short teaches them. We talk about making a contact list, inviting, presentations, closings, trainings, leaderships, all these things. You can make a list of those. And then what you can do is you can run through the passion test the same way against this laundry list of activities, the same way you did with respect to when you went through your passion test. To start seeing what are the most important ones? And I'm going to get, the bottom line is going to be what? Going out and finding people, right? We're out there finding people. And it's amazing. I sat down with one of my associates, my leaders up in the Minnesota area this past weekend, and we talked about how to find new people. And, you know, the ideas just flowed it was like gasoline on a fire. It was like an uncontrollable conversation because there were just so many ideas, and we started segmenting and saying, okay, so what are we going to approach? What are we going to tackle? Which way do we want to go? Sorry, people, I'm still got part of that summer cold hanging with me. So it was just it was a great time. So, I mean, but that's what we need to do. The abundance of ideas will just flow when you come from the concept of surrender. It just really can happen. And that's what's going to be our number one activity for us is like finding new people. And that means going out there and finding new people. And one of the ideas was college students. So we started saying, okay, so how do we best approach college students? And people were talking, one of the ideas was putting flyers up with those little pull tags at the bottom. And I said, you know, that worked 50 years ago when I was in college. Does it? Or 40 years ago. I'm not that old, but I'm getting there. 40 years ago when I was in college, I said, I don't know if it still works today. So we decided to do a discovery process. So who do we know who's in college and start calling all those people and finding out what's the best way to reach college students? You know, so it was just ideas were just flowing like I said, like gasoline on fire. It was just amazing. But we need to be in that position of surrender and open to hear instead of all this stuff that we come up with. We go, oh, I don't think that'll work. Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, rah, 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 rah. You hear that? That negativity. Ah, get rid of that. Life is abundant. Life is overwhelmingly abundant. It come from that position. and now see what you create. And it takes action. We need to take action. Action keeps attention engaged. It's not action that creates the desired result, but it's our intention, right? So if your intention, got to get clear, that's the passion test, what our intention is. Get clear of what our intention is. Some of your in setting goals gives you your intention. Creating a passion test of what you're passionate about and what you're going to make you happy in life and focusing on that is in your intentionality, right? So, but getting clear around goals and directions for yourself. I remember, and this is very great information here under 2B where we talk about it's your intention directed through the process of attention that creates the results. In other words, giving your exclusive attention to your intention. So clarity of intention. And some of you have been through Clemmer work. How many on this call have done Clemmer work, right? You've gone to that class, and you didn't have to go past the Champions Workshop to really understand the magic formula, the multi-million-dollar formula that he would teach over and over and over again. It's ingrained in my brain. It's the essence of what the Clemmer work is all about, the power of intention. What was the formula? Intent plus mechanism equals result. Intent plus mechanism equals result. And remember when he said, "What percentage? If A plus B equals C, I plus M equals R. Intention plus mechanism equals result. What is the percentage that applies to intention and mechanism to equal 100% result?" And some people, well, 90% is intention, 10% mechanism. Some people go, "I think it's 50-50." Other people go, "I think it's 10% intention and 90% mechanism." And you know what the answer to that question is? Anyone remember that from Clemmer work? People are trying to get off of mute. Well, write that formula down in your outline, and I'm going to tell you what the formula is. 100% is intention. Because once you set your intention, mechanisms appear everywhere. Mechanisms are endless. So the mechanisms never are a constraint. They're endless. Once you set your intention. So I loved it because it's identical to what was trained here. And how do we know that this is true? Because in almost every single instance, the way a result is created is definitely different than the plan of action that you've put in place. This is why it's critical for all of us to stay open. We need to be open to hear. We need to open for the universe to give us the mechanisms that will allow us to create the greatness that we are intended to create in our life. When we're closed off and we shut down and we feel like it's all up to us and we stay out of the surrender mode, guess what happens? We limit ourselves. Now, some of you are very inherently creative, so you can your limitations, you stretch yourself further. But the problem is that when Mary Jo relies on Mary Jo, I'm limiting myself. The universe is so much greater out there. My source of knowledge and wisdom comes from God, and he's, you know, oh my gosh, I'm a little grain of sand compared to what he gives to me. So I want to open myself to all the possibilities in the world through him, and that means I need to surrender and be open to hear. So stay open. And there's a drawing. People, I want to highlight this to you. We attached it to the – it didn't go out in your email, but it's in our outline. And if you look at your email, your outline, you're not going to find it there. But it is on the outline attached on the website. I got Lydia to amend that one. So if you want to go and look at that, that's terrific because it's really invaluable for us to understand this concept of contraction and expansion. And what it is it's the picture of contraction and expansion. And I want to talk about that a little bit because sometimes we get stuck. You know, in the book they talked about most people today are like the little toy cars that get off track, hit the wall. And then what happens is when we hit the wall, we keep spinning our wheels trying to go through the wall instead of turning and getting back on track. We just keep thinking, well, if I work harder, if I work more, if I just do more of this, if I just do that, and we get stuck. Anyone feel that way in their lives, right? We can feel stuck sometimes where we keep spinning those wheels. We're against that wall, and we're not going anywhere. And nature guides us through our internal experience of this concept of contraction and expansion. When you keep hitting that wall, you're in a period of a contraction. And when you look at the piece of paper that I've attached to the outline, it's called Nature's Guidance System. And what it is you draw a vertical line. At the top of the paper, you write joy and fulfillment. At the bottom, misery and suffering. And you draw a vertical line up and down the middle of the paper, and right at the top is joy and the bottom is misery and suffering. To the right of the line, draw an arrow pointing up, and next to that, write expansion. So on the right side, you got this word expansion, and you have an arrow that points up towards joy and fulfillment. So expansion brings us joy and fulfillment. On the left side of the piece of paper, you write an arrow down, and you point down, and next to that arrow that brings you misery and suffering, you want to write the word contraction. So you want to know what it feels like when you're contracted, right? Well, when you're contracted, you're upset, you're angry, you're anxious, you're tense, you're irritable, you're shut down, you're disconnected, you're unhappy, you're depressed. Generally, contraction is a feeling that's uncomfortable. It's generally what I call, I put those groups of things together, I call them negative emotions, right? Because most of them are emotions, right? Irritable, anxious, angry, upset, those are all negative emotions. So that's a contraction time period. And when you're expanded, everybody knows what that feels like, right? That's excited, ready for anything, open, connected, loving, generous, kind, compassionate, all those wonderful things. That's our expansion time. So what you want to do on that piece of paper is next expansion, you want to put a green light. Like you're on a stop-and-go light, that's green light. And when you're in the contraction side of life, you want to put a red light. When you feel expanded, this is nature's way of telling you to move forward. Take action. You're on the right track. Just really run with it. That's our time when we should be explosive. We got green light. Move, move, move. It's our guidance system saying, you know, run with it. When you feel contracted, in other words, when you're stuck and you got this feeling of like anger, upset, anxious, irritable, shut down, disconnected, unhappy, depressed, that's our guidance system saying, stop, take a break, look again, reflect. Notice it doesn't say just stop. Some of you stop and you choose to live in that. You put your stake in the ground in the negative emotions because you want to go victim to what's around you. You want to go victim to world, victim to life, victim to Washington, victim to life's not fair. This is where I get with Rudy. Life's not fair. See, you could stand on that statement and you could stay stuck the rest of your life because life's not fair. I'm not allowing you to go victim to life's not fair. No one ever said life was ever going to be fair. That, to me, doesn't tell me it's not fair. It just says that we have an open opportunity to create greatness around us, so let's step into that. But don't step into it with an expectation that everything's going to turn out exactly as, quote-unquote, it should be. In fact, don't even use the word should, could, any of that in your vocabulary. It'll serve you 100 ways over. So come from a position of we can create anything. But when you get stuck, when you're in that contraction period of anxious or anger, typically if you try to move forward there, you're going to just create more of the same and you're going to get more and more frustrated. You're going to keep hitting the car against the wall. So it's kind of nature's way of saying, take it easy, be kind to yourself, step back and take another look. So it doesn't mean stopping, stay stuck. It means take another look. Don't keep pursuing what you're doing because it's not working. So take another look. What can I do differently? This whole process here about nature's guidance system is about what? It's about the no tension area of that formula. Intention, your passion test, what you're passionate about. Attention, what you put attention towards is what you create in your life. The law of attraction, right? And then no tension. You know, when you feel contracted and you keep going anyway, you're just going to feel exhausted or constricted or uptight. Because what you're really doing, here's another way to look at it from a spiritual perspective, you're insisting on your will, not listening to God's will. When you do that, you're like any other toy car. You're rammed into a wall, and you keep spinning your wheels instead of going forward. So many times we get stuck in, well, I've got to get this done. It's essential to accomplish my purpose, or I have to get this done, and da-da-da-da, and you keep going in spite of the contraction. Or you just give up. And if you just give up and you say, I'll never accomplish getting to regional or national or executive like some of you have, guess what? As long as you tell yourself that, what's going to happen? It's going to be true for you because it's, again, the law of attraction. What you put out in the universe is what you're going to create. So you got to watch out for negative languaging. And you've totally turned off your cosmic guidance system when you do that, because you got stuck in just shutting down. Right? So how powerful is this, the concept of contraction and expansion? Just, you know, and to me, some of you go, well, I don't like to be in contraction. I love to be in contraction because it makes me rethink. It gets me rescheduling in my guidance. It means readjustment of the guidance system for me internally. Something's gone awry, so I need to start doing some self-examination of how have I gotten off path. And a lot of times, let me give you this. This is a concept for me, I know, that, you know, I live my life based on my core values. And this is why this passion test was so wild for me, because it really was almost directly in alignment with my core value. Years ago, I did a core value analysis, and I came up with my number one core value is contribution. It's sometimes people go, Mary Jo, how do you do this Monday call for 15 years straight? How are you doing this? And I go, because it's in alignment with my core value. I get so much joy and happiness over contribution, my number one core value. But because I understood my number one core values, which is very similar to like the passion test, what makes you passionate, what happens is that I know when I align my life alignment with my passions, what I'm passionate about, what my core values are, that brings the greatest joy and happiness in my life. Cool. And that's what we want to do. So when I get off track, when I find myself anxious or angry or upset or all that kind of stuff, it's typically because I've allowed something to enter my life that I've not, that's not in alignment with my core passions, my core values. And I've got to get myself back on track. And that's when we start doing that examination. How do I get myself back on track with that, right? Absolutely. And so we got to quit, resign from GM of the universe, meaning to let go of the idea you have to control everything that happens in your world. Because you are not in control of everything that happens in your world. Did anyone ever figure that out? Like day one from birth, right? So, and then there's six lessons. Debbie Ford, this is the chapter about Debbie Ford, so I'm just going to give you, run through the six lessons. We all have dark aspects. We can't wish them away, rather learn and integrate them and love even those parts of ourselves. Some things are meant to be. We can only accomplish so much through effort. So that's right. So you can go back to Rudy's concept of life is unfair. There are going to be things in life that happen that we might look at and perceive as not very fair, but you know what? You can move on. That's life. Right? That's life. Next. I love the word next. It's one of my favorite words of all time, and many of you know that. It allows me to move forward no matter what comes up against. When we have done all we can do, remarkable things happen when we surrender. Absolutely. That's when we get into that surrender mode. I like to live in surrender, but it's hard because we want to be in our natural instinct as humans, want to be in control. Who you are in your inner world is what determines how easily and effortlessly you create in your outer world. Wow. And when we want to create things effortlessly, that, you know, what does it take for us to do that? Learn from this. Standing in your power is being aligned with the highest parts of yourself and knowing both your humanity and your divinity. Very much important for us to know our walk with our spiritual side. You know you are standing in your power when you feel empowered. You don't want for anything, right? When you feel so empowered, you don't want for anything. That's great. Yeah. And she talks about, too, I wanted to share with you at the end of this chapter, she talked about her concept of self-forgiveness. You know, she said the foundation, this is such a beautiful thing, I want to read this to you. The foundation of all my long-term training is self-forgiveness, because what I know is if you can forgive yourself internally and have compassion and open-heartedness toward that sweet, vulnerable child who lives inside you, then you will create those kinds of magical moments in the outer world. The outer world will reflect that self-love, and you won't want to sabotage yourself. You'll be careful who you hang around and what you say you're going to do, because you become precious to yourself. I love the analogy that we're like these great pieces of art. A sculptor would look at a piece of stone, and they can see the magnificent in it. They know what the creation is, so all they have to do is chisel away anything that's not it, and there they are. They have a masterpiece, and that masterpiece is you. Isn't that beautiful? In fact, you know, that is so beautiful. I'm going to type that up, and I'm going to send it out to all of you, because it's just so beautiful. I mean, it's just, I read it and I just was like, wow, this is so awesome. Because I believe it's when we get back to that. You know, I talk about so many times, you guys have heard me talk about peeling back the onion, because as we grow up, we lose that childlikeness. It's why Rebecca loves to spend time with her grandkids, as do I, because that it's that child. It's that incredible beauty of love and forgiveness and ability, just genuineness that comes forth in a child and untouched by all the worldly stuff. But what's happened to us is a lot of the worldly stuff has caused us to form this these areas of this onion around me, and we've got to peel back the onion to get back at the core of that child within us so that we can come from that state of just inner beauty and selflessness that really allows us to experience the greatness of this world and attract to us the greatness around us to live that fullness of that life. So I'll definitely, I promise to type that up and send it out to you. Okay, next. You can see how I love some of this material. It's so awesome. Three, setting sail while sailing is good. Acting from the state of no tension. Again, where we want to be is outside of tension. We want to act from a state of no tension. It's key to performing the action that produces powerful results. State of no tension is the inner state of wholeness, of calm. When the mind is calm, the inspiration is natural. So when you feel contracted, again, stop trying. Let go. Contraction is the red light staying. Stop. So you don't keep spinning your wheels. So even though totally clear on your passions, you can still hit a wall over and over again if you end up finding yourself in that state of contraction, if you've got tension, right? So even if you have, this is going back to the formula, even if you have the intention correct and you're putting a tension on it, if you're living in a state of tension, you're stuck, right? And she talks about in the book The Power of Jyotish, and I don't have enough time to get into all of that. It's pretty fascinating to me, and you can look that up and research if you like to. But it's about the concept of timing, being alert to the timing of choice of taking action, because timing is really critical, and we don't always know what that timing is, and there's independent forces in life that allow us to know what that is, but it's an important concept. In this chapter was with Richard Paul Evans, and he talks about there are 11 lessons. She does interviews. By the way, each one of these chapters, she has an interview with these people, and she comes up with these lessons that you can learn from their interview. And here's the lessons from Richard Paul Evans was unexpected support begins to show up when you're aligned with what you're supposed to be doing. And that's like the magic of believing. Remember the book by Bristol? Magic of Believing, when we talked about when you get your belief right, it's like magical how the universe attracts things into your life. Well, this is very similar. It's the same kind of concept. When you're aligned with what you're supposed to be doing, it's like the magic of believing. All of a sudden, things start happening all around you. You start attracting all these incredible things into your life, but it's staying, being in alignment. Sometimes there's an advantage to doing it yourself when you are passionate about it. In other words, when you're really passionate about something, don't try to contract out to have somebody else do it. Do it yourself because you bring so much energy and so much internal to it. When you're passionate, you may not be good at the beginning. In other words, you might find something you're passionate about and you really are stumble. Some of you might write down in your passion list art. You might have always inside of you, that child inside of you, who always wanted to be an artist. It's something that drives you. You've always loved it, and you put it down, and it ends up on your passion list, your top five. You might start it today, and I suggest you start it today. And you might be really bad at it, but you know what? If you're passionate about it, guess what happens? With experience, you're going to get there. I had a friend of mine that from high school. This is a great story. I just thought of it as I was teaching today, this morning. A friend of mine, his name is Chuck Ajinian, and he went he followed the path of going to college, getting a degree, became a dentist, and he always had this inside him, this artistic stuff, and somebody once kind of said, well, Chuck, go do it, and he started pursuing this, and you know, today he makes 10 times as much money on his artwork as he does on being a dentist. I have two of his pieces in my upstairs here because of the class reunion I went to 15 years or 10 years ago. And oh, how awesome he is. What a character. He has murals on places throughout Milwaukee. And I mean, he's just incredible. His name, he signs his paintings Garbo, G-A-R-B-O, Garbo. So you may not know him as Chuck Ajinian, but that's who he is. It's just and he's a high school, graduated from high school with me in 1972. So cool. But it was like, this reminded me of him, you know, just finding that passion, not letting it go. And he wasn't very good. He said, when I first started, I wasn't very good. But, I mean, his pieces today are just wonderful. They're just enriched, very rich. So follow that passion. And anytime you're following your passion, or passion can be contagious. As you follow yours, it's going to be contagious for others. Anytime you're following your passions, you'll be tested. There are going to be things that come up against you, especially other people. You're going to find a lot of people that it's kind of like that story about the crabs in a jar. They're going to want to bring you down because they're not pursuing their passions. When you're passionate, you'll be willing to fight for your passions. You'll be able to really get outside your comfort zone. How many of you need a little push that direction? Well, let me tell you, when your passion is running your life, there's no such thing. Those comfort zones just disappear. They dissipate. There's no longer a zone. Because you know what? It doesn't matter. Because the passion is there. You're going to follow that. You take chances. You're willing to risk anything and everything. We do not succeed in spite of our obstacles and challenges, but we succeed precisely because of them. We've heard that many times, and it's a great statement. Use it. Maybe it's something you need to post on your wall today. Success comes from making mistakes and learning from them. Fear is the opposite of faith. You can't have both at the same time. Many of you know that from Scripture, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, right? Where there's perfect love, there is no fear. I love to do that when I coach people. I draw a circle and I say, this is perfect love, and I put love fills the whole circle. Said, when you show fear, you take a bite out of the apple. In other words, you're robbing yourself of love. So why would you want to do that? You wouldn't. When you're passionate, failure is not an option. When you have a sense of destiny, it will lead you where you need to go. So all great stuff.
Whoa.
Number four, I think, Rebecca, you're still on. You put yourself back on mute. I can hear you a little bit. Okay, four, it's about everyone else. The key to all life is value. Value is not what you get, it's what you give. I love that, and we've heard that so many times. It's about everyone else. It's not about me. You know, all these statements we've seen over and over again. It's about everyone else. Yeah, there are only three things that can prevent you from living a passionate life: false ideas, false concepts, and false beliefs. Things like, I'm worthless, I can't do it, I'm not good enough. Oh, what a bunch of garbage is that? Where's the barf bag, as I say? Okay, what you love, the things you care most deeply about, and God's will for your life are one and the same. Isn't that a great statement? And why can he say that? I mean, even from a Christian perspective, we know that who puts the desires in our hearts, right? God puts the desires, and he gives us the desires of our hearts. He puts them in there, and he grants them in our life. So I really believe that this is true. We take negative action to dull the pain from false beliefs, but we have to straighten out those inner beliefs before we can move our life forward. When you have clearly identified your top five passions and you understand the nature of contraction and expansion, which we reviewed today, in other words, getting rid of tension in your life, the pursuit of your destiny or purpose in life becomes effortless. Every time you're faced with a choice or decision or opportunity, choose in favor of your passions. That's a critical one to always keep true on. It's very much like the clarity that you gain in your life when I talked earlier about my core values. You know, it's always about putting my passions. Whenever anything happens, when anyone comes to me and says, Mary Jo, let's take a look at this. Why don't you take a look at that? Whatever it is, I base it on my core values. Is it in alignment with my core values? If not, I don't even get intrigued by it. Now, there might be something in my mind, in my heart, that gets intrigued by a concept, but it has to be in alignment with my core values. Otherwise, I don't pursue it. Because I know that these produce, when I'm in alignment with core values, aligned with my passion, you know what I know that I know? That's where all my joy lives. All my joy lives there. And that's what I want to do, is live my life in joy and happiness. So serving humanity is the greatest, truest joy in the world. When we give something, we truly become eternally happy. As Sam puts it, giving changes everything, right? And we know that. As we sow, so shall we reap. I mean, it's all these concepts are totally scriptural as well. The Bible has all of this. Of course, we know that source of so much, all wisdom comes from the Bible. The success of our business is based on the value you provide our customers. We know that too. The value we provide our customers is the success of our Manatech business. 10 lessons from the interview with Jay Abram, that's listed there, getting everything you can out of what you got. And I put a quote out there, when it was one of my favorites in the book as well. It says, it's your job to observe, examine, appreciate, understand, and respect how many different ways everyone else sees the same thing you're going through. Maybe you don't agree 100%, but if you appreciate it, if you respect it, if you examine it, if you observe it objectively and without prejudgment, it just makes life so much more dimensional, fascinating, fun, educational, informative. It's such a powerful statement. And today we're so stuck in so much judgment stuff. It's unbelievable. It's freezing and locking down this country as a whole. because we can't open our eyes to be able to just respect how many different ways everyone else sees the same thing. We have no respect. In fact, we show disrespect, and that's tough. So peel that one off and put it up and see if it makes some sense to you. And note that I'm not suggesting for some of you, I'm not saying that we take our biblical values and we question those in terms of what other people say. I'm just saying that there's so much out there that we can open ourselves up to try to understand another person's point of view instead of just shutting down every time somebody expresses something. So it's just important for us to be open. We can create a much better... And the other aspect of it is, unless we understand the position of somebody else's asserting from a perspective of how they understand it, how do we help shift people into a new direction? I mean, I find that true when I go to do evangelism work in the field. It's exactly what it's all about. It's like when I talk to people and I talk about what their belief system is and how they think their life's going to be when they die and all these kind of things, I question all those things. And it's only through understanding them that I'm able to ever have influence on their life. Ever, if I'm ever to have influence on their life. It's only through first understanding them. So, all right, and you can read through those. I don't have time. I know we're running out of time, and I want to get through the rest of this. So I'm gonna let you read through the lessons learned from Jay Abraham and his group. It's great stuff. I'm going to highlight the 10th one because it's so big. The biggest reason, I love this lesson, the biggest reason most people don't achieve enrichment on both financial and emotional levels is their self-focus. Get out of your own way. I always tell people when they're stuck in their life and how horrible, and they tell me all this stuff, and trust me, I go through it a lot because of my coaching experiences and my foundation. They get stuck in their life, and I go, what can we do today? How can we give today? Can we go work at the shelter today? Even though some people feel like they belong living at the shelter, when they go work at the shelter, the joy in their heart is overwhelming. It's amazing how people shift when they give. So it's absolutely true. Get your focus off yourself. And that's true for so many of us on this call today, too. We know we have unlimited potential in the Manatech business, but if we keep focused on self, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas, all the things in our life, all the past hurts, all the stuff that's dug deep in our belief system, all the reasons why not. When you focus on all that, you have no chance. No chance. No chance. So why are we keeping all that? We need to get a big, huge garbage dump and just puke it all out, right? Amen. Traveling at the speed of trust, never too old or too ill to follow your passion. Some of you recognize Speed of Trust. That's Covey's book, the son Covey, not the Stephen Covey who passed away. It's but the Stephen M.R. Covey, I believe, his son. Anyway, he wrote a book, The Speed of Trust, which is awesome. The speed you travel in the road of life is determined by the beliefs and concepts you hold. No question about that. Again, what are our limiting beliefs, right? And limiting beliefs are so powerful, they just rob us in our lives. They just hold us back from being the best we can be, from having our voice being heard, from making a significant contribution to humanity. All of these are held back by our limiting beliefs in our lives. So unless we shift those, where are we? We're stuck. We're going to continue on a path of not being a contributor. And what are some of the limiting beliefs? Let me just read through some of them for you so you can get this, because maybe these relate to you. There's so many out there, but they're all false ideas, false concepts, or false beliefs, right? Okay, how about this? I can't live my passions because I have to support my family. I can't make money from the things I'm passionate about. I don't have the skills to be really successful. I'm too old. It's too late for me. I'm too young. I don't have enough experience. I'm too blank. You fill in the blank. Weak, afraid, tall, short, fat, skinny, whatever you want to fill in. I'm too what? What a bunch of garbage, right? I don't know enough. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not a salesman, right? I'm not blank enough. Fill that one in as really. It all boils down to the same thing. I'm not enough, which is what? Nothing more than a big, fat lie. So why are we allowing these lies to stop us? And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, I did the passion test, and you know what I found I'm really passionate about? I'm really passionate about just sitting around and chatting with people. So, but how can I make money doing that? Well, let me suggest Oprah Winfrey seems to have done pretty well with that one. What if I'm passionate about baking cookies? Well, Mrs. Field seems to have managed that one. Right? I mean, what limits you is what? Your beliefs. You have this limited perspective. Why do you have this limited perspective? It's one of the things I love to do in my foundation when I work with people. They tell me, well, Mary Jo, I just wanted to be a nurse, but I can't be a nurse. And I go, why not? And I just ask them to write down all the reasons why they can't be a nurse. Some of you need to do this exercise. Why? What? Write down on a piece of paper all the reasons you can't be a platinum presidential at Manatech. Maybe it's a good exercise today for you to do. When you write down all those reasons, when you get done with all the reasons why you can't be platinum presidential, what a great exercise, because you know what you have then? Right staring right in front of you, your list of limiting beliefs. Your list of false beliefs. Your list of lies, of false ideas, false concepts, false beliefs. Right? Wow. Powerful. So get that list going so you can throw up on it and throw it away. Right? Move forward. Exactly. Your life is first created in your own mind. As long as you believe you can't, you won't, right? We know that. Keep looking for evidence until you can feel it deep inside. You can. Since the beginning of time, people have been trying to change the world so they can be happy. This has never worked because it approaches the problem backward. It's like a piece of fuzz on a projector lens. Do you ever have that happen? A piece of fuzz gets, I know this is old-time stuff, because we don't really use much of that anymore, but you have a piece of fuzz on a projector lens, and you look on the screen, and you think the screen is defective. That's the same thing that happens in our life. We look at life around us. We say, life is unfair. Life is this. We make all these assumptions about what life is or isn't, and it really starts from the piece of fuzz inside of you. The world out there isn't fuzzy. You have the fuzz. When you release the fuzz, guess what happens? Now you can create all the greatness. So take all your shouldn'ts, wouldn'ts, couldn'ts, and all that garbage and change your languaging. Right? We use all our stressful thoughts and we project them on the world. It's really amazing what we do. The world. It's not the world that's a problem. Right? And there's a great story there about a child that basically limited herself. She took all her stressful thoughts, projected them out on the world, and when they start investigating the thinking, you'll discover that's not about anyone else, that it's truly all about you. If you have judgments about someone else, then write them down, question them, and turn them around. Be your own teacher. Do what it is you want them to do, right? If you want the world to be fed, begin by feeding yourself. If you want the world, whatever it is, start with you. And then there's 13 lessons there from the interview from Stephen Covey, and those are all great as well. Okay, and he even gives some homework, and it's a great homework assignment. Some of you can pick up on that at the bottom of that page. It says homework, pick one person to be more transparent with, select an issue you ordinarily would not discuss head on, and choose to bring it up with someone you're close to. All right. Oops, we're way over. 6, there are no mistakes in the universe. The bliss is always there. That's a great one as well. When people are deeply happy, they bring a sense of purpose with them wherever they go, whatever circumstance they're in. So if they're changing the oil in a car, what happens? They bring a sense of joyful purpose even to that. So it's a concept. I love her concept of happy for no reason. You know, and I laughed when I read about this because it was so funny. How many times people look at me, even at church, they call me Miss Happy. You know, I mean, they go, oh, here she comes, this bubbly, she's always happy. Nothing ever's going wrong in her life. They love to say that to me. And I go, what? You know, I love it when people say that. They go, nothing ever goes wrong in your life. I go, oh, really? Is that true? Is that really true? How do you know what happens in my life? I said, maybe you perceive that nothing ever goes wrong in my life because you know why? I look at what goes wrong in my life and I look at what the positive is out of whatever happens in my life. And sometimes it's really hard to do that. And all of you know my story about the hardest time I had to do that. What was the event when my brother was shot and killed by his wife? Is it hard to look at what the positive is in that? But you know what? Romans 8:28 always screams out at me. And it will forever be the core of my existence. Romans 8:28. So I had to find what the greatness is. And trust me, I have seen it over and over and over and over and over. It just, I don't always see it at the time it happens. But wow, when you see my tomorrow night I'm going to a Brewers game here with my niece, and she is so dynamite managing a Papados today, living her dream. My nephew is assistant pro at a golf club and married to the love of his life, and just, I mean, unbelievable. These kids are so awesome. They got great walks with the Lord. It's just an awesome to see this. How could such flowers blossom from a garden that was so racked with devastation, right? So, yeah, great things come out of everything. So can we be happy? Yeah, happy for no reason. I love it. I think it's great. Apply it to your life. Read those. 7, united at our core. We're not here merely to make a living. You are here in order to enable the world to live more amply, with greater vision, with a finer spirit of hope and achievement. You are here to enrich the world, and you impoverish yourself if you forget the errand. Read that quote by Woodrow Wilson right off the bat of Chapter 7. This is core and principle to me as well. As you know, I did a new presentation on Tuesday night, and one of the things I did in there, I wrote about Og Mandino and his statement. I'm not here to be a piece of sand. I'm here to be a mountain. And I'm going to put all of my energy and effort about being the biggest and best mountain there ever can be. Until, you know, I cry for mercy. I put so much time and energy into my efforts that I cry for mercy. I love that quote. It's just a great quote. I didn't quote it properly, but it's something to that. But I tell people all the time, there was somebody that in my life at some point told me, they said, Mary Jo, if you live this life and your voice goes unheard, what does that mean? It means that I haven't been able to live my passion and help show my passion and reveal my passion to this world. If my voice is not heard, not only am I robbing from Mary Jo, but I am robbing from who? The universe. I'm robbing from each and every one of you. So think about that. And that's what this whole thing is about. We're not living on an island. We're united at our very core. So we need to first discover the uniqueness in us through our passion test, through find those core values, find what's most important to us. And then we need to step into living that life with the fullness of who we are. And then there's lessons on that you can have at the end. And that's it, guys. This is awesome. I hope you enjoyed it. Any feedback from you guys? Passion Test, great book. Great book. Okay, people. Grab onto this material. Take a highlighter. Go through the outline. Definitely do the passion test. Take the time and energy to do that. It doesn't take that long, a couple hours maybe for some of you. It's just, and you do it in one setting. Remember, we don't talk about going back and doing it over 4 days or with other people. It's you and you alone. And do the passion test, and then go back over this part two and really take a highlighter and highlight for yourself, where is it that I'm falling short? Where is it that I need more work? And then put some work into that. Because you want to move yourself forward and you want to help move this world forward. We all need to make contribution to make a difference. And clearly through Manatech, we got this terrific vehicle to end global malnutrition. And we will do that. But the idea is, what are we doing? What malnutrition, quote unquote, exists in our own individual lives that is holding us back from being the greatness and the uniqueness of what God created in us? And let's overcome that. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. Let's go out there and make a difference. Let's get 5 new champions. Everybody go out and find 5 new champions to join you in your business. I know that might be a little overwhelming, but how about start with 1? You know, you set the goal and you go after it. I love you all, and I'll talk to you next Monday. Bye, everybody.